studying Psalm 140. My title I have is Cry for Divine Protection from Persecutors. You know, we've not had to think much about persecution in our nation, have we? But it seems to be among those people that have their finger on the pulse of what's going on in this country right now, it seems to be the consensus that we might be in for some in the near future. So this would have more meaning to us today than it might a few years ago, wouldn't it? Now, God's word is timeless. It's always applicable. We may not be going through that season of life, but whatever it's saying about any situation is right up to date, because that's just the way the truth is. And so how thankful that we need to be at all times for the Word of God, how thankful that we ought to be that it's readily available to us, that we can read it, and how thankful we ought to be that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. We may not understand it all as we're reading it, but the Holy Spirit can guide us, can help us to build on the truth that we have and grow and feed our souls and help us whatever we're facing. David, in this psalm, was facing a time when he was being greatly persecuted. It's hard to tell, just that there's nothing in the psalm itself that would tell us exactly when he may have pinned this down, but it certainly describes the situation he was in. Okay? So, my little introduction here, though David was oftentimes persecuted and hunted by his enemies and his king, yet the Lord's mercy and provisions kept him returning to the Lord in prayer for protection. Now, isn't that wonderful that we have protection? We have help. And it's the best help there could ever be. All right? So, Lord's given us faith to turn to Him. And He's shown us time after time He's more faithful to us than we'll ever be to Him this side of glory. Verse 1, to the chief musician. Again, we find one of these sayings of applying that this psalm was to be given to the chief musician. Evidently, it was something that David regarded that needed the best attention. And when we go through troubled times, and if we read this scripture, and if it feeds our souls, you can understand how it could be suited for the best attention. All right? To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent. Excuse me. The violent man. David all too often knew what it was like to have to deal with evil and violent men. Perhaps you've had to deal with some difficult people in your life. He had gained much experience. He had developed much skill. And certainly, he had spent many hours upon his knees in prayer to God, who is able to deliver him from every evil. Don't you love the confidence that David displayed in God? Every time you read it, it teaches us of a man who's had much experience and much trouble, and God has delivered him many times. Has the Lord ever delivered you? Isn't that sweet? I tell you, just, you know, it's one thing to hear about it. It's altogether different to experience it and to feel that the Lord has delivered you from a difficult situation. We do not find any other in the Bible who praised God so much, yet who also had to spend so much time running for his life. Can you think of anybody that fits that any better than David? I mean, he's the sweet psalmist of Israel, praising God so much in scriptures that we have recorded for us. But he also was a man that had to run for his life for many years. If that were your lot, do you think you'd be praising God more? Now, you might be complaining. That's entirely possible, isn't it? But sometimes folks get bitter in their troubles. I don't find that David did. David got discouraged one time when he'd done what he thought was right ended up that the women and children had been carried away as captives, and the people wanted to stone David. Do you remember what he did? That was at Ziklag. You've read that, haven't you? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now that's a wonderful lesson for all of us. We may not always have somebody to pat us on the back. We may not always have somebody to give an encouraging word. But the Lord is always there. And he's a very present help in trouble. All right? So that was David's case. Yet, if our heart were truly set upon keeping ourselves from the evil and desiring to praise God with our every breath, we might also learn, like David did, that our strength and comfort lies wholly in seeking God's will at all times and praying without ceasing for wisdom and deliverance. You know, when troubles just keep coming, we're more apt to be more unceasing in our prayers, aren't we? You know, it's just something about this old nature of ours that we, when things get going easy, we lighten up on praying. We lighten up on asking the Lord for help because we think we can handle it. We're often thinking far too highly that our own abilities can maintain a godly course. You ever found yourself thinking that way? I can handle it, Lord. Thank you for that deliverance, but I can handle it from here. You know, we get that way sometimes, don't we? Hopefully we learn. We can backslide, but hopefully we learn that we need the Lord every step of the way. If we would just learn to lean and depend upon the Lord more, we would enjoy more of his providential care, safekeeping, and fellowship while we make our way in this world. Perhaps that's one of the greatest lessons you've learned in life. Many of you have been on this journey longer than I have. But isn't it wonderful when we can realize we're not nearly as strong as we think we are? We're not nearly as wise as we think we are. We don't have nearly all the answers that we thought we had. You know, we got them all. We got all the answers when we were a teenager, don't we? I remember. I had them all. They weren't right, but I had all the answers. All right? But how wonderful when the Lord gives us the wisdom to realize we need him. We may make some good choices, but God can show us the best choice. Okay. So David, in this psalm, is begging the Lord to deliver from the evil man, preserve me from the violent man. Verse 2 and 3. Which imagine mischiefs in their heart, continually are they gathered together for war. Now that's trouble, isn't it? They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Now he's telling us to stop and think about this. There are those, he's asked for deliverance from those who, he says, preserve me from evil men and from violent men. In this one, he says they are prepared for war. So what are you facing? Facing great trouble. This description by David of those who desired to do evil to him would not be any different today for us. Granted, we're not physically armed and in a battle daily, but a spiritual warfare is raging all around us every day that we live. You believe that? Thank you. I'm glad you do, because that's true. A spiritual warfare. Maybe I've over the years, just through growing in grace, maybe I've become more sensitive to it, but it just certainly seems like there's much more of that battle raging today than I can ever remember. All right? There's a battle to gain control of your mind, your heart, your family, your friends, etc., etc. We could just keep on going naming things that the battle is trying to gain, to take away from us. You know, like Peter said, that your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, goeth to and fro, seeking whom he may what?
Devour.
Devour. It's not to pester. It's not to just make us uncomfortable. He wants to devour us. And the sooner we wake up to that and recognize that, the better off we are in this warfare, to realize we're not a match for him. There's just no ceasing from the relentless efforts that come against God's people in this world. At times, the warfare may be manifested physically, but always it is spiritual. Now, it's a battle for your mind, but it's not imaginary, is it? It's real. Okay? And truly, it is war. Sadly, many of God's people are too busy with the affairs of this world to notice how it is affecting them. I didn't say they're too busy to realize it's there. Because it is there. But not only is it there, but it's affecting us. If we're not paying attention to it, it's affecting us. We may be becoming less and less sensitive to ungodliness. We may be getting more and more comfortable around some of the evils of this world. If we're not paying attention to it, it is affecting us. When the Bible tells us that we have been provided with spiritual armor, you know that, don't you? You know where it is in the Bible too, don't you? Okay? We need not think that it is because life will be a picnic. All right? I'm thankful that we have good seasons and happy seasons and easy times in life. I'm thankful for that. But we've got some of that other too, don't we? All right? But no matter whether it's a good time or bad, we still need that armor every day. To those who know nothing of the spiritual warfare, their life may appear to be a picnic. But for those who know and love the Lord and who desire to abide in His will, there is that constant barrage of evil and ungodliness being hurled at us from every side. Now it's there. I didn't put this in the notes, but you know, there are some things we can do to remove ourselves from some of that garbage, isn't it? Thankfully. But if you go out in public, you're apt to just face, you know, without realizing or just, you know, all in an instant, things can change around about you, can't it? So we need to be on our guard. He's given us armor. We need to put it on. You know, that's how that lesson goes in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. And if you miss those first two words, put on, you miss the lesson. He's given us the armor. We need to put it on. Okay. And if we want to maintain our heart's affection upon our Lord, who loved us and gave himself for us, then we need to keep the breastplate of righteousness snugly cinched. Hold up that shield of faith. Be ready with the sword of his word. We also need that helmet of salvation to remember all that he's done for us. And we need the preparation of the gospel of peace so we can walk and stand. And isn't that what he said? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to what?
Stand.
It's important that we are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, it's not in our strength, is it? No, he tells us in that lesson, it's in the power of his might. But he's happy to give it to us. He is. There's a spiritual warfare raging. And are we prepared for battle and taking a stand? You know? Have we put on the armor of God this week? Have we thought about the armor of God this week? Have we realized that there's a spiritual warfare out there? And think about it. You don't have to answer, but think about it. For your own benefit, have you been mindful of that spiritual warfare? Have you been mindful of the need to put on the armor of God? Or have you been hit with some of those fiery darts, caught off guard? Are we prepared for battle and taking a stand? Or are we too busy with our own selfish desires to be bothered with serving the Lord? Our safest place in this world is to stay close to the Lord and trust him for the protection and deliverance that we surely will need each day. Sometimes you'll have a good day, and you might not get hit with any of those fiery darts. And thank the Lord for it. Because not every day is like that, is it? And not only is it the safest place, but it is also the place from which we will be most willing to give him praise, adoration, and thanksgiving that we should for all of his blessings and mercies that we receive daily from his bountiful hand. All right? The enemies of the Lord will always be at our heels and in our face. May we beg daily for the power of his might to resist them. We need it every day. If we didn't need it, he wouldn't have given it to us. You know, just like in John 14, Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. You know, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. All right? What he said there, if it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, he's told us what we need for our help, our encouragement, our profit. That is our benefit. He's given those things to us. And if there was anything else we needed, truly needed, he would have told us. That's just how complete this word is. That's just how good God is in what he has provided for us to help us. And that sword of the Spirit, by the way, is the word of God, isn't it? Okay? All right. So he said in those first few verses, he's asking for deliverance from evil and from the violent man, which imagine mischief in their hearts. Continually are they gathered for war. They've sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Verse 4, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. Maybe you haven't faced such opposition as David is expressing here. But I'm going to tell you, it still fits the spiritual warfare. That's exactly what Satan wants to do. In our service to the Lord, he wants to stop it. He'll put every stumbling block in the way that he can. He'll try to draw our attention away from the Lord. He'll try to stir up trouble. He'll just try anything he can to stop us from serving the Lord. All right? So David has an accurate awareness of their motives. And we need that too, don't we? They want to overthrow you. Okay? But their reason for doing so is not just against you, but it is against God and godliness. And oh, don't we see that being manifested in our culture today? I tell you, the ungodliness is just coming in like a flood. These sins that used to be in secret, not only are they now indignant about their right to do those things in public, but they want to impress, or they want to force them upon everybody. All right? Tell me there's not a spiritual warfare raging. All right? They want to overthrow you. But their reason is not against you. It's against God and godliness. If they can detract you from serving the Lord, they win. How many victories have we given the devil? Sometimes we hand it to him on a silver platter. Oh, doesn't that just cause your heart to sink? So many times we fail to do what we should. We fail to stand. We fail to ask God to give me the strength to stand. It's a warfare. We need to be aware of it. We need to be begging for the power of his might to stand against those things and not give them any more victories than we have. And they will never let up nor give up, will they? They're not going to do that. They'll take a lesser victory. They'll compromise. Don't you love that word? You know, it works well in business, but for morality, it's an enemy. Those people that are pushing their agenda, they'll take a little bit, whatever little bit they can get. They'll back off. If they're facing too much opposition, they'll back off, but they'll get a little bit. Well, who won? They've advanced their agenda a little bit. And in our lifetimes, we've seen that agenda advance a whole lot, haven't we? They won't give up. The more aware of this we are daily, the more we'll realize our need of him, and the better effort we'll make to serve him. See, it starts with the awareness. If we've got our head buried in the sand, we're not aware of it. We need to be aware and pray. Verse 5, the proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Selah. Stop and think about it. What is a snare? What about this net? What about these gins? You know what a gin is? That's one of those things that, yeah, we kind of know what it is. But somebody pressed us for a specific definition, we might not get very far with it. All right? But he says, the proud have hid a snare. Hid, that's the operative word there. They've hid a snare. That's the way the devil works, isn't he? All right? A snare might be a pit that's covered, hidden, and in the normal pathway. So even as we serve the Lord, we must be watchful. That's the way the enemy works. They hide those things, but they put it where you're going to be traveling. So even when you're walking in the pathway, serving the Lord, we need to be careful, don't we? We need to be circumspect in our thinking. We need to be aware of our surroundings. We need to be mindful of what we're doing. A net may be by the wayside. We understand what a net is. Sometimes a net would be used for larger animals. We're talking about trapping things. Okay? They spread a net by the wayside. Okay? So a net may be by the wayside, so be careful not to stray from the path and be caught in it. Well, that's always good advice, isn't it? Stay on the pathway of righteousness. Steer clear of those things by the wayside. Not too many things by the wayside I read in the Bible are any good. Okay? And a gin would be like a loop or a noose. You ever seen somebody take a rope and put a little loop in it and wait to snatch it when something puts their foot in it? A gin would be like a loop or a noose, but also hidden from view. All of these things David's using symbolically to represent the snares and the pitfalls and the ways that we can get caught up by the enemy. And he's always there. And he's trying to destroy our walk with God. Okay? We may not see them, but the Lord knows where all of them are. Now that's comforting, isn't it? We may not see it, and how many times have we gotten ourselves into something that we didn't see it coming? But the Lord had mercy on us. I know I've grown up in maybe since I've been an adult too, but I remember growing up, there's been some times when I was about to be in trouble and the Lord delivered me. And I can appreciate it more today than I did then. He's so merciful. He's so good. And how wonderful that when we call upon God, we don't have to acquaint him with what the problem is. He knows. And he's probably already working toward your deliverance. We have such a wonderful God. He needs to be praised, doesn't he? All right? So, we may not see them, but the Lord knows where all of them are. Therefore, we must be seeking him daily for wisdom and discretion that we're not deceived and taken by Satan's many and various devices. We might even could use what Paul said in the Corinthian letter, that we're not ignorant of his devices. But sometimes we are. Sometimes we are. We don't need to be. This word tells us about him. You know, this word tells us where people have failed. And it tells us where people have been victorious. And we need to know both of those, don't we? I'm thankful that I don't have to experience everything in life to understand to stay away from it. I'm thankful for that. You know, like someone said one time, you know, we need to learn from the mistakes of others because we won't live long enough to make them all ourselves. And I'm thankful that God gives us wisdom to see the pain, to see the trouble that other people have gotten into sometimes, and gives us the wisdom to stay away from those things. He knows everything about it. All right. Therefore, we must be seeking him daily for wisdom and discretion. Okay? We need to be doing that, don't we? Every day, because he has many devices. One other thought before we go on. He has favorite devices, doesn't he? You know, and that's why we should learn these things, because Satan has some devices that he uses very successfully, and he can just keep on using them over and over and over. And I suspect one of his favorite is discouragement. When we are caught off guard, or when we do stumble along the way and we get discouraged sometimes, or maybe we realize we should have been doing something else and we get discouraged. Well, when you fall into that trap, you're just playing right into his hands. The Lord would have us to confess whatever fault there is and look to him for the strength and get up and go again. I know that's easily said, and sometimes it's hard to do, but that is the instruction we need in that situation, to be looking to the Lord and the power of his might. We don't face this warfare in our own strength anyway. All right? Verse 6. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Aren't you glad that the Lord takes care of us? Oftentimes we're not even aware of it, but he's there. He's helping. What a great blessing that we have the Lord who hears, who knows, and who is able to be our helper, our keeper, and our leader for all of life's battles here. Now that covers a lot of ground. But I think it's plain enough. Okay. I just love to think of how God is able. Don't you? Oh, I listen to some people when they talk about God wants to do this. And sinner, won't you let him do that? And I handle it a little better these days than I used to. But what kind of a God do they believe in? Who can be hindered by man? Our God is able. That's what sovereignty is all about. Now, some folks don't even like the idea of sovereignty because they won't control themselves. Oh, but for the child of grace who realizes we're weak and poor and needy, we can't handle things like we think we could, you know, once thought we could, but God is able. He knows all. He sees all. He's able to do whatever his will is to do. Like Psalm 115:3, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That's our God, and he's able. So what a blessing that we have the Lord who hears. David's making his supplication to the Lord. He hears, he knows, he's able, and he's able to be our helper, our keeper, and our leader at all times. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. Verse 8, grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. Selah. There's another one of those pause and consider. What if the Lord let them do what they wanted to do? Furthermore, what if the Lord let us do what we wanted to do? That's one of the worst judgments he could give us. Just turn us loose. But thankfully, God watches over us and protects us. from evil men. How needful that we should be praying for the Lord to intervene and help us. As a matter of fact, part of that model prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And there's an awful lot of evil from which we need to be delivered every day. Like we said earlier, it can come upon us so quickly. David is well aware of the principle of sowing and reaping. Now, you may not find those words in Old Testament, but the principle is there. You know, it's described that way in the New Testament. But David's well aware of the principle of sowing and reaping. He knows that divine justice will return these things upon the heads of the wicked. You know, we have scripture that says, well, it's New Testament, but it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. All right? So David knows that principle. He knows the Lord's going to take care of that. So he prays, verses 9, 10, and 11. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Now, it doesn't sound very merciful, does it? But what David is speaking of is divine justice will render to the wicked according to their ways, won't it? In Revelation, it says he'll reward every man according to his works. Okay? So those works have consequences. And David is simply acknowledging what divine justice will accomplish. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. Now, while we don't want to wish evil on anyone, we know divine justice is going to happen. And aren't you glad? We've said this many times in our study of these things, but aren't you glad that God will settle the score? And he doesn't leave it up to us. And we don't have to worry about that. You know, you could worry yourself sick over some of these things. But if we can put it into the Lord's hands, if we can release it, you know what releasing it is? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. If we can just turn it loose and give it to the Lord and let him deal with it in the way that he knows is best, then we can release it. And it's not a problem for us anymore. Oh, I know these old carnal minds of ours will dig it up every now and then, but we need to remember, give it back to the Lord. He can handle the situation, and he will. Not only can he, but he will. So give it to the Lord. So as they had done to others, so shall it be done to them. Verse 12. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Once again, aren't we thankful that our God handles such situations? All right? He will maintain the cause of the afflicted. You ever been afflicted by someone else? This word afflicted here is in the sense of being someone doing wrong. You know, kind of like oppression, but afflicted by someone as they've done you wrong. What does he say? I know. I love that. I love the way it's worded. This is the inspired word of God. This is not David's opinion. This is the inspiration. This is the moving of the Holy Spirit to tell us, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted. Just like Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. How could he know that? By the Spirit. Spirit speaking truth through him. Whether Job really understood what he wanted to know about it, the Spirit led him to speak the words of truth. I know my Redeemer liveth. And so David says here, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. While the rich will obtain the best help they can find, what a glorious blessing that even the poorest and most afflicted among God's people have a far greater help than anyone in this world could ever provide. Isn't that wonderful? Think that we have help. As we're poor and afflicted, poor in spirit, broken spirit, have nothing to bring to God. That's who he hears anyway, isn't it? He hears us, and he can help us. So, as David, by inspiration, said with a perfect confidence in the Lord, his God, I know that the Lord will maintain our cause and right. It's not that he just knows that God knows, but he knows that he will take care of the situation. That ought to comfort our hearts. That ought to bring peace. No matter what we're having to face in this life, that ought to bring comfort and peace to our very souls. And then verse 13. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Now that's the response for God's little children. When we've felt to be delivered, when we've felt to be protected, when we felt that we've received all of these things that David has spoken about in this psalm, then what's the appropriate response? To thank his holy name and give praise unto him who is so great and who delivers us from so great trouble. So, being mindful of his goodness. Don't you love to think about God's goodness? Matter of fact, Paul said in Romans that it's his goodness that leadeth us to repentance. And there's times when we need to repent of some things, isn't there? Okay. Being mindful of his goodness, we thank him profusely for all our blessings. Now, is that too strong? I don't see a whole lot of folks doing it. But I'm telling you what we ought to do. We ought to be thanking him profusely, because we'll never thank him enough, because we don't even realize all the things that he does for us. They just go unnoticed by us every day. Even when we're looking for him, there's things we miss, all right? So we need to be thanking him for our blessings. And if we really and truly understood just how merciful the Lord is, now think about that. If you could really fathom just how merciful God is, and how much the Lord loves us, and just how much he's actively involved with our daily care, we would be shouting his praises from the rooftops and speaking of our deliverance to everyone, wouldn't we? I mean, we just notice a little bit, but can it bring you such joy? And what we do realize, what we do understand, can cause us to be lifted up with joy that we would praise God. But if we really could understand his mercy, his love, his provisions for us, and how he's caring for us every day, I tell you, there'd be more praise and adoration from God's people. So, brethren, David learned that by experience. The many times that he was chased, the many times he feared for his life, the many times that the angry men and violent men were after him, it gave him a lot of experience. Do you suppose we could learn it as well? I ran out of room here, but the best way for us to learn is to be more focused. Not that it would cause us fear and trembling, but to be more focused on the warfare at hand. And realize how much more we need the Lord every step of the way. We'd be doing more praising. We'd be doing more thanking. We'd be following more closely and holding on to him a little tighter, don't you think? David learned that, and so should we. Okay, may God bless you, is our prayer. I've opened up to 484. We're marching to Zion. Haven't sung that lately yet.
everyone.